You want to be healthy? Love God. Trust God. When you got anxiety, trust God. When you're worried about a report from the doctor, trust God. Give it to you. If you can't fix it, there's no sense worrying about it. Amen? There's no sense carrying it. But I've seen God time and time again perform miracles. Amen? And not just great big miracles, but daily miracles. Amen? For those who love Him. Mark Bush, we missed you. Mark Bush, when you talk to him, he's always got something to tell you that God did for him always. It could be a penny falling in the slot of a floor. It could be little things, but he sees God in everything so that his joy remains full. Amen? How many? The enemy is looking for every single way to attack you. Amen? It attacks you spiritually, it attacks you mentally, it attacks you physically. You've got to use God to fight through that and stand and use the wisdom. Amen? We all have itchy ears, it seems. Itchy ears. If somebody told you that Jesus did something awful, that he slept with somebody and had children, people believe it right away. They, oh, did you hear what Jesus did? It's not in this book, amen? God explains it. But people hear an itchy ear about God or about the Bible. Oh, the Bible's not real. It was written by man, or there's slaves in the Bible. And then they carry that with them, amen? And they carry them into darkness. The blind leading the blind will fall, amen? When you start believing stuff like that, the end, there's nothing after that. You've given up all hope in God. You've given up all hope in what God can do in your life. Amen? And we all have, we get these itchy ears. Something really bad is the first thing that people believe. You get a bad report from the doctor. It's the first thing that you believe instead of believing God. Like Gary lost his job. The first thing he said, oh, and Marcia, she got worried. I said, I understand that. But God's here. You're in a great place now. When you're in a place of need, you're in a place where God can work in your life. How many people want God working in their life? I know I do. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus who came here, faced what we face, won the battle over death, won the battle to help us with our health, with our lives, with our jobs, with our homes, with our families, taught us how to love, showed us love, the greatest gift, love. You can have everything else in the world, but without love you have nothing. With Jesus we have love, and with that love we have everything. That's simple. You need to grow in that. That's simple, Lord. We just want more of you. We need more of you in this world. We need to stop arguing with one another over politics, over all kinds of things, Lord, that separate us. We still need to stop calling people names who don't agree with us, because nothing can be gained from that. Nothing can grow when you look at somebody as your enemy when they're not your enemy. We need to come together in you. We can still have disagreements. We can still be disagreeing on all sorts of things. But we come together with love. We find a way to bring it together. We need you, Lord. This beautiful day, we need you. Each and every day from now on, Lord, we want to grow closer to you. You solve our problems, Lord. If we just hold on tight, you take care of us. We just read that you lead us. You lead us, our paths in front of us. We love who you are, Lord. We just love you in this church. We worship you, Jesus, in this church. We know that we need you in our lives, in this world, in this country, all over the world, Lord. We just need you, more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, church, sit back and relax. Shake the dust off, take the jacket off, say hi to your friends, just relax and know we're in church and we're having good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. In other words, don't have itchy ears. Don't believe every story, every wives' tale. Why do they call it wives' tales? That just seems, that's just nice. I know what Greg is saying. Every idea, thought, and stories, unbelievers who only want to disprove the Bible and disrespect the Bible, amen? It says don't give place to that. Don't give place to the devil, amen? Don't give place to fear and to doubt and to depression, amen? It also says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to talk about that today. Listen, it says it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. What does that tell you? That you can grieve, that the Holy Spirit can be sad inside of you. Amen? Jesus went to heaven and he said, I got to go because I'm going to send you the Comforter. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit that indwells in you simply because you believe Jesus. That's how easy it is. He made it too easy sometimes. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work 60 hours a week. You don't have to buy your way into heaven. You just have to love his son. Amen? And he said, if you love my son, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit inside of you. But the Bible says we can grieve him by turning away from God, by giving credit to the devil when God has blessed our lives. Amen? By saying they've been married 49 years and they said, well, God didn't help me at all. Well, it was just the world and Satan helped me. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. By me having beautiful friends and saying, well, God didn't really give me those friends. I play the guitar and people like the way I sing. That's why they like me. That's an insult to God. Amen? God blesses us with friends. He blesses us with gifts. And we got to not grieve. Imagine that. Imagine sometimes you say things and you have to stop and say, you know what? I think I just hurt God's feelings. You start thinking about how many times we do things that could hurt God's feelings. Yet he loves us through it. Amen? We got to watch that. Hallelujah. Now, here we go. Just enjoy yourself. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, how old? They went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his Mary, Joseph and his mother, who was his mother? Mary, Hail Mary, what? Full of what? Hallelujah, that's his mother. Did not know it. He lingered behind and they didn't know it. Now, I don't think they left him. This wasn't a home alone incident. When they traveled with lots of people. You know, it's very dangerous on the roads together. So when these people went to pilgrimage and feasts, they traveled with a lot of group of people. So it's normal that you wouldn't see somebody for, you know, they're out playing, the kids are playing. So it wasn't anything like a home alone. They did not, but supposing him, they supposed that he was in their company. They went a day's journey. They didn't go in a car, they walked and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. They said, where's Jesus? So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Do you know how hard that was? They had walked all day long and found that they couldn't find him. They had to turn around and do what back? Walk. You think Mary was angry? Let me tell you. Now, so it was after 3 days, they finally found him, and they found him in the temple. And he was sitting in the midst of teachers. He was both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. How many people were astonished? We're talking about men who knew the Bible inside out. They were astonished. So when they saw him, when Mary and Joseph saw him, they were amazed. And his mother, who's his mother? She said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Mary was angry, amen? And she said, look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? 12 years old, amen? He's telling his mother and father, look, I'm about my father's business. But they did not understand that statement when he spoke it to them. Now listen to this, please. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. What did God tell us to do? Honor your mother and father, amen? He returned where? Home with who? Now Mary is who? blessed. Amen. God put the seed of Jesus in her. So she knows God. She loves God. He returned with his mother and father. And it says it's about 18 years now. There's 18 years you don't read about. And boy, I'll tell you, this is where the stories start coming. God was with this person. God was with that person. Jesus did this. And Jesus, let me tell you, he honored his mother and father. How could he honor his mother and father if he had unwedlocked relations? How could he do that? How could he, if he sinned, if he drank, if he partied, how would he be honoring his mother and father? No. And what else was Jesus? Does anybody remember? Jesus was the oldest son. And back in those days, the oldest son had all the responsibility. Amen. So Jesus worked with his father. He learned carpentry with his father. Amen. And he studied the word of God. And who was his mother? And you got to believe that Mary made him read the Bible, amen? Read the Testament, right? You got to believe that Mary guided him and he honored them. There's no talk of all this other nonsense about Jesus. He was the son of who? He came here for who? Us. And he was the lamb that was slain, the pure lamb, amen? He wasn't a lamb that had a good time and decided, well, I'll give my heart. No, he had to be the pure lamb. You know, even in the Old Testament, when somebody sinned against God, they had to take an animal, an unblemished animal, a virgin animal, amen? And they had to kill that. They had to offer that. Not some old piece of sheep or old cow or old thing. They had to take the best, the youngest, amen? And that was the only way that their sin was to be atoned, according to God, amen? Jesus is the same lamb, amen? Are you with me now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm going to prove some more to you. I love this. Say, enjoy yourself. Shake the dust off. Enjoy. Sit back and relax. It won't hurt a bit. It ain't going to cost you a penny. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Tempted by who? This is now when he's an adult. To be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. I can imagine. Now when the tempter came to him, let me ask you something. If Jesus had committed those sins that people talk about with the itchy ears, if Jesus was a drinker, if Jesus had relations, if Jesus had all this, do you think the devil had to tempt him anymore? The devil would have owned him, amen? You understand what I'm saying? If he was a sinner, and he did all those things, why would the devil, if you're a sinner, the devil doesn't care about you, because he knows he has you, amen? It's when you say, I want to follow God, is when the devil says, I better do something now, before Jesus gets his hands on him, amen? So why would the devil have even had to bother? He would have looked at Jesus and said, you're just a carpenter's son, and I got your relations, and you got on, you've been drinking, and you ain't been paying nobody. He's what? Amen? But no. Hallelujah. He was hungry, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, he knew he was. He knew he was. He said, command these stones become bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written. Say that with me. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him high on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written, say it with me, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That means, brothers and sisters, if you got a depression problem, you got a drinking, whatever problems you have, and you're fighting it every day, and you fall back and you say, Lord, help me, he's going to come and he's going to lift you up, amen? And then you go a little while and you, whatever attacks you, it comes over you again, and you say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. He's going to lift you. But if you just go every day and throw yourself into the sin, he's going to leave you there, amen? You're tempting him now. You just say, I'm going to do whatever I want, and you're going to come get me. No, it doesn't work that way. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Remember, brothers and sisters, this is the devil's world right now, amen? He showed it to Jesus. He showed it to him, and he said to him, Jesus. He doesn't even say if you are the Son of God now. And he says to him, Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And listen to what happened. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Get that praise now. The devil left him. The devil left him. You want to know how to get through problems? That's how you do. You say to the devil, "It is written," and you hold on to these words, and the devil will flee. Amen? Hallelujah. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Listen, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Amen? He was tempted, but it was all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Say that with me, without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, unmerited favor by God that we receive, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of our need. It says to boldly come into prayer. Amen? Anybody know what that word means, boldly? We go to the, "Oh God, oh Lord, if you could just help me, please." No, boldly. We go into that room with you because you got Jesus, who is your advocate. Amen? He's your high priest. Amen? You go to the throne room boldly. Not arrogantly, but boldly. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Now this is real serious right here, brothers and sisters. This is real serious. Real serious right here. Then one was brought to him. Somebody brought to Jesus. Someone who was demon-possessed. He was blind and mute. And he healed him. Praise God. So that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. All the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the Son of David?" My God, what else did he have to do? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." That's Satan, amen? The Pharisees saw the miracles that Jesus did, and the first thing out of their mouth was, "No, that was from devil. The devil did that." Now listen, this is very important. Every kingdom divided, but Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to them, listen to this, this is important. "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand." And Jesus said, "If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will this kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges." Nobody wants anybody else but God to be your judge. But Jesus said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God," hallelujah, "surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house." And he says this, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven man, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven." If you call Jesus names and you're just going on about something because you're angry, it says you'll be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. A tree is known by its fruits. He's saying, like I said before, you bless me. I love you. In my heart, I have friends I love. That's a gift from God. God, if I said that it wasn't, I'd be calling God a liar. If we started to argue with each other about every matter known, and this house got divided down the middle, this house would empty, amen? This person would say, "I'm not going to that church anymore because so-and-so's over there, and so I'm not..." And this person will say, "Well, I don't like so-and-so over here because he likes the Red Sox and I like the Yankees. I'm not going to that church," amen? And all of a sudden, the church, it's got nothing to do with God. The church being divided will fall, amen? And Jesus is saying, if you give Satan credit for doing good things, his kingdom will fall, amen? He's the father of lies. Say that with me. Satan is the father of lies. When you know what's in this book, you know a lie when you hear one, amen? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We're good. Okay, stay with me. I got two things to just... I wish you'd... You might even want to write these down. I'm going to the book of John. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down and taught him. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." And I ask you, first of all, where was the guy? You can't commit adultery alone, amen? You can't be in cahoots by yourself, amen? But they chose to bring the woman. And they say, "Now Moses in the law commanded that such a person should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something on him which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And fellas, I tell you, I love this Bible. When I read that, I started laughing, because how many times during the day somebody says something you didn't hear them? Not that you didn't want to hear them, or you didn't. It's just like he just ignored them, and I just
you go, "Didn't you hear what I said?"
Hallelujah. I think Richie said hi to me three times Friday night before I saw him. He said, "Didn't you?" I didn't hear him. So that's what Jesus did. He stooped down and he wrote on the ground with his finger, as though. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He was without sin among you. Let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but this woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Who was that woman? A woman caught in what? Hallelujah. Caught in adultery. Some woman was a poor woman, a peasant woman, caught in an act, and these men took her because they wanted to trick Jesus. Amen? They didn't bring the man, they brought the woman. Amen? Does it say who the woman was? No. Not even... You never hear about that woman ever again, do you? Thank you very much. Now, it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And 12 were with him. The 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Say that with me. Healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. Did Mary commit adultery?
No.
Was that Mary that committed adultery? No. But the world wants you to believe that, oh, that was Mary that... Let me tell you something else about Mary. She was not a peasant woman. Here's the company. I'll read that again. One of them, the 12, and a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, because that's where she was from, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him with their substance. Mary was with Joanna, who was the keeper for King Herod. The keeper, the manager of the king. Chuza was one of the king's men, and this woman, Joanna, was with Mary of Magdalene. Amen? These were prominent women. And the Bible tells us in one line that they financed Jesus' walk. Amen? They financed his ministry. These were wealthy women. Wealthy women. And this Bible's showing you that women are important. Women, give yourself a hand. Women were just as important. It wasn't the men that were with him. It was the women who supported him. Amen? The women who went with him. And let me tell you about Mary Magdalene. 7 demons inside of her. Whatever's going on in your life, I guarantee you, it's not like what she was in. And Jesus healed her of those. It said right there. And she loved him. She said in her life, "I'd rather be with you the rest of my life than go back and even begin to face that again." And she walked with him and loved him for that. Amen? God's love and man's love is so different. You're talking spiritual and natural, never connected to. You can't imagine how much God loves you. So when you start talking about the Son of God having relationships with somebody, you have lowered it to the lowest form. Now, He doesn't need that. He's the Son of God. He loves you completely, spiritually, not in the natural. Amen? Hallelujah. The one called Mary, called Magdalene, Mary called Magdalene, seven demons. Hallelujah. She was a wealthy woman. She wasn't a peasant woman. She traveled with Jesus the rest of her life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. That was a great study. Thank you, Lord. I read this part. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained, Jesus was saying, "Most assuredly, I say, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Jesus said, "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood my drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" And then Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life." Say that with me. The Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And he said, "The words I speak to you are spirit, and they our life, but there are some of you who would not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said to them, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." For from that time, listen, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand the spiritual from the natural. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are also the Christ, the Son of the living God." They said, "To whom shall we go? Where should we go? If we leave you, what do we have? You promised us eternal life. You promised all these new things. You gave us hope. I have hope in you. I have my trust in you. I love you. I call on you. If I should walk away, what do we have?" Amen? Jesus is the answer. Amen? Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. He's your Savior. He loves you. He's been there. He will be there. He'll never leave your side. Amen? When you hear things about Jesus, you just walk away. Not listen to that. Because that's not the Scripture. That's not the God who loves you. Amen? Give Him praise and glory and trust in His name.